T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Deshaun Watson's trial. Lawsuits. Deshaun Watson trade possibility. Look, we talk about it. We beat the proverbial dead horse. We give the perspective from here in Houston, and very rarely do we get a chance to hear an outsider's perspective. Sean Pendergast, he checked in with the publisher for DolphinsSI.com, Alan Pupar, Sunday. And he had some pretty interesting things to say on the Deshaun Watson front. This is straight out of Miami. Deshaun asked Alan, is the Watson possibility, the trade possibility, is this stirring up the Dolphins fan base?
Oh, no question. Those people are at odds with each other. Absolutely no question about it. And part of the issue is that the big Tua fans see any talk of bringing in Watson as disrespect for Tua instead of looking at it as the possibility of picking up a 25-year-old franchise quarterback.
Never would have thought it, Joe. Deshaun Watson possibly going to Miami, and there's a certain part of that fan base that views it as disrespect for Tua instead of you're getting a player that ultimately puts your 10-win franchise over the hump and makes them not only a contender to win the division, but truth be told, probably a Cinderella contender for the damn Super Bowl. I mean, it's crazy to think that that's the way that a fan base, any part of a fan base, can view it.
I don't understand it. I truly don't. The part that gets me is I was like, okay, well, maybe this is many of the people in the fan base because of everything that he's being accused of. This was something that was taking place when it just came out that Deshaun just – that was one of the – when Miami started becoming the destination is, no, don't give up that number 3 pick. Yeah. Don't give up that 18. What? Like, who could sit there and watch all of those games last year? You go 10-6 and miss the playoffs and not think to yourself – what would have happened?
Well, and you hear the things that come out of the locker room about Tua. You know, there is an injury concern there, obviously. When you watch the games, there's clearly a learning curve it's going to take time, man. It's not going to happen overnight. And so I guess I can look at it, Joe, and go, okay, I understand where if you're a Dolphins fan, you may not be a big fan of giving up so much for one player, right? I do think that we have a little bit higher, we probably think a little bit more highly of Deshaun Watson than some other fan bases do because we cover him on a daily basis and we understand how good he really is. So I guess I can understand where an organization would go, man, should our team, if you're the Miami Dolphins, give up 2 or 3 first-round picks and really you trade away your entire draft over the next couple of years and a former top 5 pick for Deshaun Watson. I guess I could see where some people could have a debate over that, but just flat out, when you're having a conversation of Tua versus Deshaun, there is literally parts of that fan base that look at it and would prefer to have Tua over a guy that ultimately, I mean, if you watch football at all, you're talking about a guy that gives you a chance to be a contender immediately. Here's the other part of this. This is another piece of audio from DolphinsSI.com, Alan Pupar. This is him talking about which fan base, Tua or Watson, which group of fans is actually larger?
It's pretty soundly in favor of Tua as the guy for the Dolphins.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. And again, this is me, as you mentioned, it's not scientific. This is me going by what I gauge, what I see on Twitter, on Facebook. I think it's a pretty decisive margin as well.
Unbelievable. Not only is there a portion of the fan base, he's saying it's split. It's either split right down the middle or there's more fans leaning Tua's way.
That's the dumbest thing.
That's the route they would go.
That's just.
Well, I'll tell you this. I can't speak for the fan base. And I think that you and I probably I don't know. I think that you and I have a different, like right here in Houston, you and I have a different perspective of Deshaun Watson than I think a good chunk of the Texans fan base. So, again, I could see where parts of the Miami Dolphins fan base doesn't necessarily think as highly of Deshaun Watson as we do. Hell, I think there's part of the Texans fan base that doesn't think as highly of Deshaun Watson as we do. But 50-50? Or 50%+
to think that
they'd rather have Tua than Deshaun Watson.
They would have taken calls. This is before everything happened. They'd have taken calls, and people would have been ticked off about it. That's insane to me.
Preposterous.
I don't understand it. And I hear that argument that because we cover them every day, we maybe are higher. I would actually think it would go the opposite, because I bet you if we did a poll of people, and I know a lot of people outside of Houston, that when you hear Deshaun Watson, the thoughts are, man, that's a great player who's being screwed over by Bill O'Brien because Bill O'Brien's an idiot. And like, that's what the talk, like, he's being held down by what's around him. Not that.
I wonder how many of your boys, though, that you talk to, that have you heard that from, that aren't in the business, in the radio business or the media business?
I would say both.
Both
that aren't in the media business, that the perception of Deshaun Watson is he has been held down from what's around him, and he has drugged any type of success that the Texans have had. He has drugged that team to that type of success. So I would think that about the Miami Dolphins fan base more so that 50-50.
Well,
that's
I think there's a reason for the organization, being the Miami Dolphins, to push that narrative, right? I mean, right now they're trying to sell tickets, and right now Tua is still in a Dolphins uniform, and probably odds are he's going to be their guy either way it goes. So currently he's their best option. Currently he's their only option. So I could see where the organization would push him heavily, which I think that would sway part of the fan base. I just think this. I think when you – the fan base can think what they want. The media can think what they want. There is no way in hell that locker room even spends 1 second contemplating whether they'd rather have Tua or Deshaun Watson.
No, I don't think so. Or the front office, right?
You don't think No. If they're being completely honest and they're behind closed doors and they're talking about what's best for their team, hell, what's best for them? Is to win and be a contender. There is zero doubt about it. Deshaun Watson is absolutely a huge upgrade over Tua. If you get paid to cover the sport of football and NFL in general, or if you've ever played in the NFL or any other pro league for that matter, and you would prefer to have Tua over Deshaun Watson, I'm gonna question what you're doing on a daily basis.
I would completely agree. I'm just really surprised. 50-50.
There you have it. That's so something. That's it, man. I was shocked too. Publisher for DolphinsSI.com, Alan Pupar joined Sean Pendergast yesterday. And yeah, it's good. You got it?
Prepare.
We got it.
Pupar. Poupon.
There you go. He joined Sean Pendergast yesterday and I don't know, had some interesting takes on what the Miami Dolphins fan base is, how they view the Deshaun Watson possibility at the quarterback position for their roster. Wide 80. So I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but around the NFL, they posted a They wrote an article. I'm not sure who wrote the article. I don't have it pulled up right now, but it was on around the NFL, and it was headline porn at its finest, man. Did you have a chance to see it?
I want to hear it. What was the headline porn?
Well, Jadeveon Clowney. He had him stirred up, man. He had him stirred up. Not really. He didn't have him stirred up, but the headline porn did. He was asked. He was asked a question, and the question was clearly about being just an amazing specimen, right? Just a physical freak. And he said it took him 8 years to find someone that was more of a freak than him. And he was obviously talking about Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett. And I think a freak.
There's no question. Well, the headline porn reads, "It took me 8 years to find a teammate like him in Myles Garrett." Right? It didn't tell you that he was responding to a question a little bit more specific about just being a physical freak. And I think it's fair to say that Myles Garrett, because everybody knows where this went, right?
J.J.
White. I think it's fair to say that Myles Garrett is more of a physical freak than J.J. Watt, right?
Just physically, you mean, like, when that guy comes in, if they're coming out here in their shorts and you just catch their body, they're at the combine getting measured and you see all of that.
Right.
You know, like
run, jump, the way you look.
And this is and it's not a slight really to J.J. because J.J.'s exceptional with that. It's just Myles Garrett is ridiculous. It looks like somebody made his body. Like a doctor took to it.
It's a transformer.
Yeah.
It's like they put him together. Like it's a character, right? I mean, but anyway, it was headline porn, and Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, poor Jadeveon Clowney, he can't catch a break in Houston. I mean, he just simply said, "Hey, look, this is the first time in 8 years in my career that there's been somebody that's more of a physical freak." And he didn't even say that he was asked the question. He just made the comment about Myles Garrett, and it stirred him up now. Kick the old ant bed on Twitter.
Because he wasn't saying that J.J. isn't as good as him or Myles Garrett. He was just simply saying the physical freak, and boy, I did see that got some run a little bit.
Yeah, I love a good case of headline porn. Anyway, I love when I saw it, I was like, no way, there's no way. I've been critical of Jadeveon Clowney, but he ain't no dummy. There's no way Jadeveon Clowney went there after playing for six years with a three-time Defensive Player of the Year, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best defensive linemen to ever play the game. There's no way he went there. So if you just read the article, it was clear that he was talking about just an absolute freak of an individual.
So it was good you got that cleared up for yourself.
Well, yeah, it made me feel better about it. But I was on JD's side the whole time. I knew he wasn't. I knew he wasn't
you
talking.
You knew he wasn't crazy.
He wasn't spewing foolishness.
He wasn't too crazy. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up at 4:45. So make sure you're locked and loaded. And tomorrow night. Listen up, tomorrow night is a huge, huge night in Houston sports. And Sean Pendergast of our morning show, Payne and Pendergast, is going to jump on with us to talk to us about how huge tomorrow is in Houston sports. That's next. Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us that great info, Sean.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch
watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Your chance to win $1,000 coming up at 4:45.
It pays to listen.
It really does. Make
I'm
sure you're
so
locked
excited.
And loaded, because we've got to get in the game. Like our guy who's joining us right now, Sean Pendergast. He had a winner on his time slot. We need one down here. So 4:45. Make sure you're locked and loaded. Tomorrow is a huge, huge day in Houston sports. And I know you're going to be in the middle of it, Sean, so kind of let everybody know what they need to be getting ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow night, appreciate you guys having me on. Tomorrow night, Adam Spillane and I are going to be doing a little draft lottery special for the NBA draft lottery. It's something that we have not had to experience very much here in Houston, fortunately, over the last decade or so. Unfortunately, we get to experience it this year because the Rockets were – abysmal, but it's a huge night. They're in the middle of a rebuild. As you guys know, they got some good young pieces. And tomorrow night is just, I mean, it's, you can't overstate how important tomorrow night is for them to land in the top four in the draft. If they don't land in the top four in the draft lottery, then their pick reverts all the way down to 18 because of a series of pick swaps that they're involved in from the Russell Westbrook, just the abysmal Russell Westbrook trade. Tomorrow night, look, if the Rockets are going to get back to being relevant again and get back to being a playoff team, getting a top four pick tomorrow in a draft that has some really nice players at the top of it is going to be a big step towards that.
Sean, I know you're a gambling man. I mean, give me some percentages there, man, for our listeners. What are we looking at? We know there's some ping pong balls out there, but what are we looking at here?
The bottom line, Clint, is that if we're just worried about landing in the top four, which I think is that's the big concern, because obviously it's either top four or it's all the way down to 18. So the percentage chance of the Rockets landing in the top four is 52%. So basically a coin flip. The chance of getting the number one overall pick is 14%. So it's a puncher's chance at the number one overall pick. It's a coin flip to keep their pick, basically, 52%. So it's, my hope is that all this good mojo that the Astros have going on right now, because there is a when it rains, it pours kind of thing going on in Houston, is that the good mojo the Astros have going on carries over to the Rockets. That's the best I can do. And Hakeem Olajuwon is representing the Rockets at the lottery. Nobody better to represent the city of Houston than Dream.
That's right. Sean Pendergast with us. He and Adam Spillane, our Rockets insider, tomorrow night will be covering this huge, huge night for the Rockets to find out where the draft lottery lands for the Rockets, because we'll figure it out. This will be the worst luck if they sit in there and they're number five. Fifth pick, this will just, I don't even know how some people will be tomorrow or to be.
Well, here's the thing. Well, I think the way the lottery works is the worst they would be if they just hadn't engaged in these pick swaps is five. That's the way the lottery is structured now, that if you're the worst team, you can't pick any lower than fifth in the draft. And I don't know. I don't know why the protection on the pick was 1 through 4. I don't know why they landed on that specific. Here's the thing. They probably did these protections on the pick when they were doing this trade. They had no thought that they would be sitting with potentially the number one overall pick in the draft a year after trading for Russell Westbrook. When they traded for Westbrook, they figured they were working with at least a 2 or 3 year window of having Russ and James together. And lo and behold, the whole thing implodes after 1 year. So if they could do it over again, I'm sure they'd love to say, why didn't we just do 1 through 5? Because then they would be guaranteed of keeping their pick the way the lottery is structured. But unfortunately, it's just a 52% chance. That's just the way it works. It's a complex permutation of ping pong balls that they've got. I liked it a lot better when they just drop a bunch of envelopes in a bin and you pick it out. That was easier to consume for somebody like me. Yeah. Now they've got accounting firms that are watching everything, and it's a lot of math involved. You know what I mean? That's not conducive to
a nice beverage on a Tuesday night. But our show will be conducive to a nice beverage on a Tuesday night tomorrow.
Sean Pendergast of Payne and Pendergast in the morning joining us on Sports Radio 610, discussing the Rockets NBA lottery special tomorrow night on Sports Radio 610. Sean, what is and I may be putting you on the spot here, but hell, I'm going to roll the dice, man. So if they do hit the lottery, so to speak, and they end up in the top four, is that the only pick they have? Are there multiple picks? And give us kind of a layout of what, if they do, what does it look like? If they don't, what does it look like? Is it as simple as top four or 18, or are there more pieces to that?
Well, they've got a couple other first-round picks, Clint. So that's one thing that Raphael Stone's done a pretty good job of, is trying to restock the draft cupboard, which had been completely depleted through a lot of these trades that they had made over the last couple of years. The Covington trade and the Westbrook trade was the big one. I mean, they just emptied the chamber to go get Russell Westbrook, and it lasted one COVID season, and that was it. They've got Portland's pick from the trade where they sent Covington to Portland. So they've got the 23rd overall pick, and they've got the 24th overall pick from Milwaukee in the PJ Tucker trade. The part of the PJ Tucker trade was the right to swap their second round pick with Milwaukee's first round pick. So they're basically moving up nine spots into the first round. So the here's the worst case scenario. Unless they start making more trades, the worst case scenario is that they'll go into draft night with the 18th, 23rd, and 24th picks. The best case scenario is they go in with a top four pick and the 23rd and 24th picks in the draft. So they're guaranteed to come away with some interesting young pieces. It would just be nice if one of those interesting young pieces was, Cade Cunningham or Jalen Suggs or Evan Mobley or Jalen Green, one of those guys that are considered the top of this draft. I don't know that there's a franchise changer at the top of the draft. And Joe, you follow college basketball as close as anybody I know. I don't like Cade Cunningham. I don't know that he's a transcendent transformational player, but I think he's potentially a really good player, and they can use as many really good players as they can get right now.
Yeah, Sean, that's what I was going to go to next. For me, Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State is the guy that I would pick. He's the one that seems to have the most upside. He has a kind of a Paul George type of feel to him if I were to compare him to somebody in the game. But I know you and Adam will talk about this, because there's a reason why it's important that you want to get to the top four. And what guy would you want them to be able to come out of the draft with? It's so important to get into the top four. When you look at him, who is it that you, Sean, that you and Adam will be talking about tomorrow night of, this is who they got a chance to get?
Well, if they get the number one pick, I think it's probably going to be Cunningham. He seems to be the one that everybody is enamored with at the top of the draft. I'm not wild about him as a number one overall pick. Like, that's, if you ask me, like, hey, you could be guaranteed of landing in the top four somewhere, or you can roll the dice and get the number one pick. Like, if you say, hey, I'm going to guarantee you the third or fourth overall pick, or you can roll the dice and try to get number one. You know what? Give me the guarantee of the third or fourth overall pick. I've been watching some of Jalen Green, the kid that played in the G League this year. He's scored 19, 20 a game against men in the G League. I like him a lot. Evan Mobley is a really versatile big. And I like it. And then, Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga, I don't think he's a spectacular player, although he did some spectacular things in the tournament this year. I think he's got a chance to be a real steady and solid point guard for the next several years. So I say all that and go, you know what? They wind up with Cade Cunningham. That's still pretty good. But the Jalen Green kid that played in the G League this year is the one that intrigues me the most.
All right. That is Sean Pendergast. Tomorrow night, him and Adam Spolane, our Rockets insider, starting at 7 o'clock, this is a huge pivotal night for the Rockets tomorrow night. They need to try to get into the top four to guarantee they will be able to keep their pick. John, thank you for joining us and keeping us updated on what's going on tomorrow night.
All right. Godspeed, fellas.
Thank you. That is Sean Pendergast. Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us that great info, Sean.
Hey, you hear how he really tried to he really tried to monitor his tone right there at the end, so you couldn't get
it. He tried to be real even kill.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for coming by.
Just trying to be great, guys. That's it.
I mean, you're supposed to be the energy guy, man. And you sit over there.
It was the finish of it. I'm just trying to be great here. All right.
Thanks for coming on, Sean.
Lord, man. You want to come on?
You just didn't want another drop. You just didn't want another
drop. No, I don't give a rip about the drops. All right? You can do them, Tyler.
Give us an energetic outro from Sean right
Come on, give Sean a better outro, man.
That's BS, better man. Sean's one of the best. He's our guy, man.
One of you play Sean. Finish up Sean's thought, and I'll come out.
All right, fellas. Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah,
Tyler, you don't do it. You're not good. No, I'm just kidding. I just walked into that one.
Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us that great info, Sean.
All right, baby Sean. Thanks for that, baby. We need you tomorrow night now. Let's go. Here we go. Him, Adam Spillane, they got it rocking and rolling tomorrow. Woo! 7 o'clock. I'll be damned. I know I'm going to be there. Two Monsters energy drinks ready to roll.
Good job, man. Woo!
That's going to be – you can figure out a drop out of something with that right there.
Yeah, fire up.
You can't be sending no Pendergast out
Fire
with no
a bottle
monotone.
Rocket up my ass. I'm ready to go tomorrow.
Whoa. What the hell is going on in here?
By the way, I just wanted to jump in with Sean.
Add that to the list of things that I'm never going to say. Fire a bottle rocket up my ass. Yeah, that ain't going to be part of my
It really
my
penetrates
repertoire.
It a little bit harder.
To what Sean said, and I know the Rockets they've actually been good with this with Akeem. Anybody but Mobley. Anybody but Evan Mobley, the big man, don't do it. This game has been shown. It is about guards. It is about guards like Cade Cunningham, the green kid he talked about, Suggs. Don't get there and say, oh, man, there's a 7-footer who can be versatile. Those guys don't do it.
We did have a good Mobley back in the day.
Portland is still punching themselves in the face for saying Greg Oden or Kevin Durant.
Oof.
Yeah, that's a tough one there.
Let's do it. How about him again? Hey, who was it that went before Luka? Somebody. Phoenix. I know Ayton has done all right, but still, Phoenix would love to have Luka right now. Then Ayton, don't do it. Do not do it.
So, hey, you were talking about Coutinho Mobley, right? It's one of the best names.
Yes,
of all
sir.
Time,
Coutinho
Mobley.
Coutinho. Have you seen how great he's gotten? My God, he
Coutinho.
Oh,
boy, can ball now.
He looks Coutinho. Like he's 75.
What nationality is Coutinho?
African American, I believe.
I mean, when you hear the name Coutinho, you don't think like, oh, that's got to be that could be something else.
No, that's a black parent feeling dicey.
That's with some Cuban vibes.
It's just feeling it. Yeah, I know some.
Verified, he is American.
Yeah, I've got a cousin named Carlos. I'll tell you right now, Carlos is not.
I got
Carlos
some Cuban
Correa.
Roots. I got
he
some
is
Cuban roots. Let me.
Black is what Carlos is. All right, the Astros, they may be the best team in baseball because of what they did to the White Sox. Are you ready to call them that? Are you ready to call them that? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
That ball's driven deep to left field. Carlos Correa! His dad threw out the first pitch on Father's Day, and Correa... his home run number 14 on the season.
Of all of the Astros, Los may be the hottest, but hell, everybody is hot this week, man. I better shut up. Abraham Toro with 4 hits, and he's been great over the weekend. But many people, including our own Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., said, hey, man, felt like this is the best team in baseball coming in town. Best team in baseball, the Chicago White Sox coming in town. And, Clint, they swept them 4 games. Not a 3-game series, not a 2-game series like they did the Rangers before them. They swept them in a 4-game series. Chicago had threw all their best pitchers in this series.
Yeah.
Including Lance Lynn, Carlos Rendon, and Dallas Keuchel. They threw all their best pitchers out there, and they lost 28-7.
Yeah, look, I think
28-7.
This is a mid-season series that, as you said, is a 4-game series, so it's a larger sample size. And coming into the series, this was one of the handful of teams that were considered the best in the AL, and the Astros absolutely took them out to the woodshed.
That's right.
Took them out to the woodshed and just beat them like a drum, man. It was an impressive series. It was a fun series if you're an Astros fan, obviously. I mean, you look at the series and you break it down, you look at all the box scores, and you go, what was the best part of the series? Obviously, 4 wins. But what was the best part of the series across the board if you look at all four games together? And show, you hit the nail on the head talking about Luis Garcia. I mean, Luis Garcia dealing versus Rodon when he was out there dealing,
yes,
was a hell of a baseball
game to
watch.
Because he had to match him. And this was like all of the other, listen, the offense was rolling, right?
Yeah.
And there were some guys that you said, okay, he's inspired tonight. You know, and Garcia had a huge hit. Robel Garcia had a bases clearing a double that was huge over the weekend. And we just talked about Abraham Turo went 4-for-4, and he's that wasn't it. I remember in game one of the series, he had a huge RBI single, two-run single in that. So he's been swinging the bat well. But Luis Garcia, he different than all the other starters in the rotation that went in this series. His game was close. He didn't have the comfort of having a 3-6-10 run lead. He was trailing the first five innings he was in the game, and then they were tied up at one once the Astros were able to score on Rodon. That's big pressure against a guy who's got big time stuff, and it wasn't just like it was like the Astros got to get him out of the game. Like they need to just take some pitches or something to run his pitch count out, because it didn't seem like they were going to have a lot of success. I mean, he had a lot of guys that are good hitters looking silly, and Luis Garcia matching him, and had a similar stat line than he did, and that was big time because that was the closest to a playoff game that you really saw, a 1-1 game when he left, and he gave his lineup a chance to stay in it long enough to get to their bullpen to win. So that, to me, at all, was the most impressive performance, not just of the weekend, Clint, for me. Luis Garcia, when you talk about expectations, was the most impressive performance I've seen individually this year.
Wow.
For the Astros.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's awfully impressive when that was the best game of the series by far, the best game in general.
Yes.
But Luis Garcia's performance versus Rodon was flawless, because like you said, the pressure was on for seven innings. We've seen these guys go seven innings. We've seen them go six, seven, eight innings with a really good stat line. But to go out there knowing that any mistake would absolutely change the game.
Yes.
And knowing that your lineup was going to struggle, because look, in that particular game, which is game two of the series, I believe.
Yes.
In that particular game for the Astros, there were, I believe the Astros had three pitchers. They went Luis Garcia, Ryan Stanek, Presley.
Yes.
And the White Sox, they trotted three pitchers out there. I'm not sure the last two, the names of the last two guys.
A big number 45
but
fella.
Good God. There were six pitchers that I remember toeing the rubber in that game, and all six of them had professional hitters, some of the best hitters in the game, completely off balance.
Stanek and Presley faced six guys and struck out five.
Good God. I mean, that was an unbelievable game in this series, and I agree with you. Show, there was a lot of good. There was a lot of good in this series. Good gosh, the offense overall outscored the White Sox 27-8 in a four-game series. But Luis Garcia, I mean, he's the most recent starter to plead his case of, man, I ain't going to the damn pen. I'm going to make it difficult for you to take me out of this rotation.
I just don't think you can. And Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610, as we're talking about this Astros weekend, is they may be the best team in baseball now. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up at 4:45. So stay locked and loaded. You talk about this offense. They went off, as we talked. What are they? 10 in the first game. Seven.
It was like 10-2-8-7.
That's a lot of hits.
Four game run.
27 runs against that pitching staff. Are you shocked how good this offense is?
Yes.
I just talking about from what we looked at from the beginning of the season. You knew you were losing Springer. You knew, like, hey, Alvarez is coming back, but he's coming off a knee surgery. You don't know. I am shocked that they are this good,
yep,
and this dominant, like number one nearly across the board in almost all of the major offensive categories in baseball. That has caught me off.
I thought it would be very difficult for the Astros to put a season together at the plate offensively that would silence the critics about the sign-stealing scandal. I doubted that they had the ability to do that. And because it's not going to take – you can't just go out there and lead the league in batting average. You know, you can't just go out there and
OPS.
Just kind of here or there. I mean, in order to silence the critics, like, you were going to have to go out there and as a group, as a whole, have – an unbelievable season at the plate, and I know they got a lot of baseball left, but they're on track to do that, and I'll be damned if they haven't had some of their better offensive outputs versus some of the better pitchers that they faced.
Yeah,
and so I look at it and as a whole, I did not think that they would ever be able to silence their critics, and I'll be damned if they're not putting together one hell of a case this deep into the 2021 season.
And they've got, and we looked at the numbers a little bit, they're in the ballpark of like the 19 and 17 offenses. And that is just crazy. Like, batting average, they're right there with the 17 and 19 teams. And to think losing George Springer, and, you know, you knew Miles Straw was going to come in and you know, get at bats at center field, that was going to be a change. But losing that, to think that this team would be in the conversation, would be in there and saying, all right, they're like those teams. And they haven't even been completely healthy yet.
Yeah.
That's the other part. Like, this offense, the output they're putting out, I thought they were going to have to really be good running the bases. They're going to have to create more runs by playing some, as you love, small ball. Maybe Miles Straw using his legs. They might have to use their legs more. I thought Jose Altuve may have to go back to running like he used to. Their pitching staff was good. Oh, man, these jokers out here.
Yeah.
Leading across the board, and it is just.
Well, you lose George Springer, and you get a much improved Yuli Gurriel.
Yes.
And you get a Kyle Tucker that's taking the next step. You get a Correa that, whether it's the contract year or it's just that he's coming into his own and he's in his prime, you get what looks like it's going to be a better version of Correa. Altuve makes the move to the leadoff spot without a hiccup at all. Alvarez comes back off a knee injury and he's hitting 300 with power to all parts of the field, and now he's playing in the field. Yeah, I mean, when George Springer left, you want to tuck your tail and go, damn, man, you lost a great. But who would have thought that all of those things that I just rattled off were going to happen this quickly, too? Yeah. I mean, what are we, 70 games in?
And this quickly and being sustainable. Like, Yuli's not going anywhere.
Right.
Yuli's not going anywhere. It is just insane what they've been able to put together. As well, as we're just talking here, and I see this on the text line, Clint, a question. Do you think the Sox pitching failure had anything to do with MLB cracking down on foreign substances? What happened to the Astros? They pitched their ass off in the. I mean, what happened? I mean, every one of the Astros starters
that is interesting
pitched their asses off.
It is interesting, and I think there's going to be There's going to be some really, really pissed off pitchers in this league. There already are, actually, but it's going to be really hard to prove it, because you're going to have, like you just said, I mean, people are always going to be able to go, well, hell, if it's bothering you so much, if you can't get if you don't have the same command and you don't have the same spin rates, the Astros aren't having a problem with that, knock on wood, because I hope they don't start having a problem. But the Astros are one of those spin rate teams that, boy, they really dial into the analytics of it and the advanced stats and things of that nature. It ain't slowed them down a bit.
No, I mean, yeah, and Framber was pitching his tail off, easy and loose. Everybody for the Astros, there is not a single pitcher, bullpen or starters, that was awful for the Astros that struggled this weekend. Like, they all pitched pretty well. Like, I mean, so if they're able to do it without having any foreign substance issues, then that can't be an excuse.
Right.
That can't be an excuse, so.
Well, they're checking.
Yeah, they're checking today. They are.
They're working them boys over.
They're checking, and managers can check, but it seems like Dusty Baker may not be one of those managers that we'll be checking. This was Dusty Baker, who spoke to the media earlier today, and he was first, he was hit with the thought of, are you going to be, you know, are you one of those types that will be checking for players and pitchers who might have stuff on their substances on their hands?
Would you? It wasn't a blind eye. It's like, hey, man, you know, didn't really make a fuss about it, you know, but it was against the rules. So, you know, we'll see. So what's your question?
I guess you as a manager, would you make a big fuss about it if you saw it was obvious on an opposing pitcher? Would you ask an umpire to check an opposing pitcher?
Probably not. You know what I mean? You know, I'm from a different generation. You know what I'm saying? So probably not. You just open a can of worms because they're going to check yours, and then it's a never-ending cycle of things of distractions.
He's kidding, right? He's kidding. There's like
I think he's dead serious.
Oh. I'm from a different generation.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's dead serious, and I think obviously he can at any point in time change his mind and decide that he wants to you know, have a pitcher checked, I suppose. But I just don't know that it's a good idea to broadcast publicly that you more than likely, or I guess he said probably not, in a response to, would you check an opposing pitcher? I don't know if it's left up to the manager at any point in time that's a good idea to broadcast that, right?
No.
It doesn't appear that it's going to be up to the manager. It appears that they're checking them jokers left and right no matter what. But
look at you. You've been asking for Dusty to have a plan.
He's got a plan.
Apparently he's got a plan, and he went ahead and shared his strategy with everybody else in Major League Baseball.
He's finally got a plan, and he's sharing his strategy.
You know what I mean?
I don't like this plan. You got to go with what the rules are. And there's some rules in the game that you don't like. I'm sure Dusty doesn't love it that you can't have collisions at the plate anymore. But, I mean, hey, you go with the rules and you take advantage of what potentially the rules are. And if he goes out there and they're playing the Yankees or they're playing the A's in an important game and Gerrit Cole or Sean Manaea have something on their hands and you can tell and we can all see and they're dealing out there, I'll be damned, that old school thing needs to go to the trash.
I'm from a different generation.
You need to take advantage of the rules and say, all right, hey, he's out of this game and they're going to miss two more starts that going to help us, that they can't replace the player on the roster. So that, I mean, that
you know
old
what
school.
I'm saying?
That, no, I'm saying, no, I don't. That
you
old
know
school
what?
And all that stuff, that's got to go out the window.
That's great. That is absolutely great.
You know what I'm saying?
I usually love, I'm here for Dusty pressers for sure. But I wouldn't give the old game plan out like that.
Not unbelievable, but good God!
Oh, it's not unbelievable. Unbelievable, but
I hope that's not the case. I hope they have a different strategy. I hope they have a different strategy coming forward. All right, Dusty also spoke with the media later, and he gives an update on one of the important pieces that are not yet on the Astros big league team at this moment. We'll let you hear what he had to say about that player coming up next.
You know what?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.